Praise your holy name. You are great, Lord, for your blessing.
Luke chapter 20, we are going to begin reading with the first verse. Luke chapter 20, verse 1. Let's find the page over. And it came about as one of the days, when Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted him. And they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I shall ask you a question, and you tell me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." And they answered that they did not know where it came from. Now Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you what authority I do these things." Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey for a long time. And at the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order that they might give him some of the produce of the vineyard. But the vine growers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he proceeded to send another slave, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away again empty-handed. And he proceeded to send a third, and this one they wounded and cast out. And the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." When the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." They threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore will the owners of the vineyard do to them? And he will come and destroy those vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, "May it never be." But Jesus looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? 'The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like the dust.' And the scribes and the chief priests tried to lay hands on him that very hour, and they feared the people, for they understood that Jesus spoke this parable against them." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have given us direction. And I thank you, Father, as you show us clearly the difference between faith and unbelief and the responsibilities that we have as a child of God. Speak to our hearts as we study this passage this morning, Father, that we might be encouraged in our own faith and that we might encourage each other as we walk according to this faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, remember where we're at in our storyline here in Luke. We are in the very last days of Jesus' ministry. He has come to Jerusalem for the last time, and he is teaching in the temple, even though the leaders of the temple are not very happy about it. The people certainly aren't very impressed. And so as Jesus is teaching, he encounters difficulties with the leadership, as we have seen many times in our study here in Luke. And so he tells this parable about the vineyard. And without a doubt, this is one of the clearest statements that Jesus makes about the rejection of Jesus by Israel. This clearly points out that what he sees going on in Israel and the reaction of the leaders is rejection of the Messiah that God has for man and the rejection by God of the people of Israel. And so they're just astonished, for one thing, but mostly they're enraged because Jesus is speaking against them and the system that they have put in place. So let's look at our text this morning. Verse 1, chapter 20, came about on one of the days while Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted him, and they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority?" So, a couple of things. We see that Jesus has a very intent purpose at this time. Now we are at the very center of Israel's religious life in the temple. And it was not uncommon in that day for various scholars and rabbis and priests to teach the people that are coming into the temple. They're coming in the temple. Not only are they giving of their tithes and offerings and the other sacrifices that they're making, but they also are there to hear a word of God. Some of these people probably a very unique situation to be able to be there and to experience that. And so Jesus is teaching in the temple, and he is proclaiming the gospel. He is talking like we have seen throughout. He's talking about the kingdom of God that is coming. He's talking about the Messiah that God is sending. He's talking about the need for Israel to repent, talking about the need for faith so that they might have life. Now, none of that is in that verse that I just read to you, but I know that's what he was talking about because it says that he was preaching the gospel, and that's the gospel. So I know that's what Jesus was doing at that time. While he was doing that, look what it says about the leadership of the religious people in Israel. The chief priests and scribes and elders confronted him. Now Jesus is talking about the repentance of Israel, the need for repentance of sin. He's talking about the coming kingdom of God. He's talking about God's willingness to save man. And they confronted him about it. So he just wants you to feel that confrontation is going on, to feel that there is an issue here between the leadership between what Jesus was preaching, which means we know that there's an issue between the leadership of the religious people in Israel and God. So we know that, and it's very clear to us in that sense. This is not a friendly inquiry. It's not it is a full intent to discredit Jesus. That's what it is. And what did they ask for? It said, "Well, just tell us by what authority you're doing these things." Now, many times as we went through Luke, we've addressed issues of authority. And this would be a good question for leadership in a church to ask. You know, if somebody comes into your church and is bringing a teaching that is different than what they've been hearing, the leadership of the church should be asking, "Where's your authority?" So it's not a bad question, even though we know it's a hostile question. It's exactly what we should do. When we hear somebody preaching or teaching in our churches and the teaching is not what we're used to, then it should be, "Well, if this is right, I need to know some background. I need to know some information. I need to know where you're getting that authority." Now, in our day and age, the authority would come from what it says in the Word of God. If you're saying this, can you back that up with other scripture? That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be testing the spirits. When somebody preaches something, then you need to go, did I hear that elsewhere in the scriptures? Do we hear a conflicting voice in the scriptures about that? These are questions that are very valid to ask. But in this case, they weren't asking them in sincerity. They were asking them to trip Jesus up. If they had a pure motive and an unbiased motive, great. But that's not what was going on here. So let's look at Jesus' answer. He has some of the greatest answers. I mean, we can learn stuff on everyday life on how to answer people's questions, because there's people always asking questions, and some of them are valid, and some of them are just stupid. And so you have to find a kind way to say you're stupid, but that's what Jesus does, is try to find a kind way to say that you are ignoring the Word of God. And we need to do that. We're not intending to insult people, although people who are really full of themselves and very educated and are opposed to God, then sometimes we just need to say they're stupid. Tell them to their face. They won't agree with you, but at least you've planted that seed that, hey, maybe what you're talking about, you don't know anything about.
All right, moving on. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to them, I'm going to ask you a question, you tell me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? And so this is a good lesson for us as believers on how we should begin conversations with our adversaries. When you're with somebody and are in a conflict with them, Jesus almost always answers questions with questions in those situations. And never really right out there. And there's good reason for that. Even if you're not in an adversarial situation, you know, Lori may ask me a question and I didn't understand her question. So if I ask her a question, I can find out what she's going after on that. You know, what do they really want to know what John Baptist was doing? Well, I got to ask that question, don't I, to find that out. You know, are you really interested in knowing where my authority is? Yeah, let's find out. John the Baptist, he hung around for a little while. Crowds came to him. Lots of sinners got baptized. Lots of religious people got turned away. So, you know, here's a scenario. Jesus says, tell me what authority they had. And the reason why he did that was to show where their heart was. Because John the Baptist's message was not complicated, was not difficult to understand. It was repent because the kingdom of God is here. So if you think that was not from God, then guess what? I'm thinking you aren't standing on God's side. Right? Then I mean, it's just very straightforward and understandable. All right, so here we go. I love these guys. They're wonderful. They reasoned among themselves. And you know, the interesting part about that is that there's many times that we see when the scribes and the Pharisees and stuff are confronting Jesus, and they talk among themselves, and a lot of the times it says Jesus knew what they were talking about. It doesn't do that here, but we know Jesus. We know he already knows what they're doing and how they're trying to get out of this. And so they're thinking, all right, if we say that John's ministry was from heaven, then he's going to say, why didn't you believe? All right, so that's a pretty straightforward answer. You know, yep, John was preaching the good message, and you guys rejected it. That's going to kind of paint us into a corner we don't want to be in. Verse 6, if we say it was from man, well, a whole bunch of people in Israel went out and repented and were baptized, and they're going to think we're the heretics, and they're going to stone us. Now we got a dilemma going on. So, verse 7, they said, we don't know. Well, sure they did. They knew either that John was a heretic or that John's message was true. They just didn't like the answers. They didn't like the consequences of their answers. So they said, That was their answer. And so Jesus, knowing this, he knows their heart is not right then. That was why he asked the question. He says, well, I'm not going to tell you either. You can't figure it out. If I say that my authority comes from God, then you're going to reject that. If I say it's from man, then you're going to play other games with that. You know, he knew his authority was from God. He knew he's from God. There's no doubt about it. This isn't a question of Jesus not really knowing who he was or any of those kind of things. Maybe some skeptic might
put it in his mouth in his situation. He just says, you're not going to believe what I'm going to say anyway. I'm just not going to tell you. Sometimes that's the way it is. When you're speaking with people, sometimes you say, well, I'm just not going to argue with you. I can't win. Mark Twain said that don't argue with, maybe it wasn't Mark Twain, but it's one of those guys, said you don't argue with stupid people, they'll be able to beat you with experience. And that's, sometimes you, that's it. You just don't argue with stupid people. You can present your facts and then say, okay, that's it, we can't go any further. So they've asked this question about the authority. They clearly do not think that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't like his ministry. And so Jesus tells them a parable. And a parable is basically a story that has one large meaning. So we've got to be careful about not dissecting it too much. But it has one statement to be made. And so here's the parable. Verse 9. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey for a long time. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order that they might give him some of the produce of the vineyard. But the vine growers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. So the master proceeded to send another slave, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent a third, and they also wounded him and cast him out. So the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I know, I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him. Verse 14, but when the vine growers saw him, they reasoned with one another, saying, this is the heir. Let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore will the owner of the vineyard do to them? So this is the parable. Clearly, Jesus is talking about Israel. God provided a nation that would meet all the needs of the people. He gave them all kinds of blessings. He gave them all kinds of opportunities as they went through life to show forth the glory of God. And Israel rejected God's way and went their own way time and time again. I mean, God even punished them for doing that. You know, as we read through our history in the Old Testament, we see that God punished the northern part of the kingdom and sent them off to Assyria, punished the southern part of the kingdom many years later, sent them off to Babylon, brought them all back, and within just a generation or so, they were already off the mark, doing their own thing. The only difference was they weren't worshiping foreign gods anymore. They were worshiping a god of their own invention that they called the God of Israel. And so it all went on down until the present day, following a lot of Mosaic laws, going through the right motions, but their heart was not after God. Okay? They killed the prophets. And now he's saying they're going to kill the son ahead of time. We haven't got to that part yet, but it's clearly that's what the intention is going to be. We can beat God by beating his Savior. Okay? Verse 16. He will come and destroy those vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. So that's the summary of Jesus' parable. The result is that the nation that had been chosen by God, set up special, protected by God, blessed by God, given all the promises that God could give of a blessed life and prosperity, they rejected God. And they will therefore face the wrath of God. That's the part that we ought to be perking up. We sit in here this morning and we hear about God and the plan of God that through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that he made on the cross. If we are not repenting of our sins, believing in our heart that Jesus was the Son of God, that he raised him from the dead, and confessing him as Lord, then we will be destroyed and others will get the blessings of God. There is a battle going on for the hearts of men and has been since Adam and Eve sinned. And the result is you either believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him and be saved, or you stand the judgment of God that God has already made, and that is the soul that sinned, it will die. Eternal damnation. That's it. The wrath of God is upon those who will not believe. Then Jesus, and then the people understood exactly what He was saying. See, in the second part of verse 16, and when they heard it, they said, God forbid. May this never be. Not possible that God would reject Israel and give it to others. That's even worse. See, there's two things that are going on. God rejecting Israel and giving it to others. That was horrible. Not only are the people of God shut out, or the people of God, I'm putting that in parentheses, being shut out from the blessings of God, but they're giving it to the Gentiles. Ugh, they're dogs. But that's exactly what Jesus' story talks about. I mean, we are really blessed, people, to be on this side of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we can see some stuff that they really didn't know was going on. This parable was given out. They couldn't see that. We read this parable and we go, look, they killed Jesus, and He rose again on the third day, and all that other stuff. We know that stuff. These guys didn't. All they're saying is that God's going to reject Israel. All right, verse 17. So they said, remember, verse 16, God forbid, may it never be. And they're talking about the rejection of Israel by God. Verse 17, Jesus looked at them and said, what then? Is it not written, the stone which the builders rejected, this becomes the chief cornerstone? That was a prophecy that was made long ago, that there's going to be a rejection of the cornerstone. And we know that to be the Messiah, and know that to be a messianic promise. Guess what? The people in first century Israel knew that was a messianic promise too. This isn't one of those messianic promises that they discovered after the fact. And I hate to say it that way, because then people think, well, no, that really didn't mean that. No, it was there, but we couldn't see it. It was veiled. This one they understood completely, that God was going to have rejected those who did not believe. And that was the cornerstone. Everything hinged upon the Messiah. So Israel's going to reject the Messiah, and Jesus was the Messiah. Verse 18. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. So Jesus clearly reminding us of our efforts, either for or against God, depending on how you want to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is, the efforts of God against, or the efforts of man against God will fail. That's the first part of verse 18. You're going to fail if you go against God. Second one is that there's going to be a final judgment of God, and the excuses of man will fail, and God will be glorified. That's the second part of verse 18. If you go up against God, you're going to fail. If you don't trust God, you are going to major fail for eternity. Okay? Now, this wasn't a hidden statement that was made. Because look at verse 19. The scribes and the chief priests tried to lay hands on Him that very hour. They feared the people, for they understood that He spoke this parable against them. They got the message loud and clear. God, there was no doubt whatsoever. The message was received, and also the message was rejected. Today is the day of salvation. We've heard that before. It's in the epistles, clearly talk to us that there are choices that we make in life. Everyone in this room chooses at some time or other whether they are going to follow their own way or whether they're going to follow God's way. Some of us spend a lot of time choosing to follow their own way and then repent and choose God's way. And that's what we're asking today, that we need to understand. Several times in our study in Luke, we see that wicked men reject God, and that Jesus is the only hope, and that God warns us that if we do not heed the warning of God, repent of our sins, and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we will be lost. And the Apostle Paul writes, today is the day of salvation. Today's the choice. You may choose to reject Jesus. Maybe you'll get another chance. It's not guaranteed. Or you can accept him and confess him as Lord and live your life to glorify God. That's the choice you make today. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for giving us this insight today. Help us, Father, to show forth your glory, and that we might keep our focus upon you. Speak to our hearts the truth of where we stand with you, so that we may know which direction we're headed. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.